Next on our agenda are the liaison reports. I turn the that order of agenda over to Justice Miller.
We have two reports today. The first is from Judge Jane Branlin and Judge Joan Weber reporting on the Superior Court of San Diego. Do you have it organized who's going to go first?
Yes, Judge Branlin is going first.
Thank you, Justice Miller. On October 20th, I visited the judges of the San Diego Superior Court. I spent approximately an hour with Presiding Judge David Danielson and Assistant Presiding Judge Jeffrey Barton. I then spent approximately an hour and a half with the judges of the court, including many of their executive committee members. Judge Weber was assigned by the Chief Justice to be one of the liaison judges for San Diego, but this assignment took place after I had already completed my court visit. After my remarks are completed, she will provide a brief update on events which have occurred at the court since my October 20th visit, as well as some pictures and a short video. Let me start this discussion with the good news first. The construction of the new 71 courtroom courthouse is well underway. The construction that was visible on the date of my visit back in October looked like a giant 65-foot deep hole. A mud slab was visible on the bottom of the hole that consisted of a thin layer of concrete to protect the excavation as a water seal is being installed and a massive amount of reinforcing steel is placed as part of the building's foundation. An enormous quantity of concrete has been poured since my visit, and more is scheduled before the structural steel begins. This 22-story project is on time and is expected to be completed by December the 23rd, 2016 as a holiday present for their community. However, there are a few remaining issues that still need to be addressed, including the lack of a tunnel directly connecting the sheriff's jail, which is approximately two blocks away. One other spot of good news is that the investment in their IT infrastructure is advancing forward. The San Diego Superior Court retained Tyler Technology, and they have invested in a new case management system. Their court is optimistic that they will win the race against time and successfully replace failing legacy systems in family, criminal, small claims, and traffic. Their court was one of the early investors in V3, and the court is grateful that V3 continues to provide a stable, functioning platform for civil and probate. They're hopeful that support will continue for V3 to keep them afloat until the Tyler Odyssey system comes fully online and civil can be switched over in 2018. The only remaining colorable good news is that despite the financial hardships, the court has not had to involuntarily separate many employees from service since layoffs in 2012. Working conditions are so intolerable that the employees who are leaving voluntarily have decreased the workforce and resulted in significant budget savings, making any additional layoffs unnecessary. Unfortunately, these three bright spots are the only good news I have to share in an otherwise very bleak report. The morale of our fellow jurists, and especially their staff, is unfortunately at an all-time low. To use the words of their presiding judge, they feel like they're under siege. They liken the working conditions of staff to a machine running continuously at redline with no relief or regular maintenance. They are experiencing these difficulties because of the lack of new significant funding in the recent budgets. The San Diego Superior Court is a proud group. Their court is the second largest in the state. They take pride in the fact that they have provided the judicial branch with many leaders, including three members of this council, two of whom enjoy leadership positions on important internal committees, and one who serves as the president of the CJA. San Diego has provided leadership and faculty to the Judicial College and statewide educational programming. Their court, at one time, was renowned for its programs, including their collaborative and innovative courts and a very efficient and effective civil division. Now they struggle just to get by. Their civil independent calendar departments have been reduced by a third. This has caused their law and motion timeframes to go from 3 to 4 months for a hearing to 6 to 9 months or more. Their civil caseloads have gone from 5 to 600 per judicial officer to approximately 900 to 1100. Before the cuts in staff attrition, more than 81% of their unlimited civil cases were resolved within a year. Now those cases are continued repeatedly because of the lack of available motion dates. They will soon have approximately 10 offline judges, judges working without staff because they cannot afford to hire staff. In addition, they have 5 judicial vacancies and 2 unfulfilled commissioner slots. Of the 154 authorized positions, only 137 judicial officers will have staff. In fact, before the impact of this year's budget was fully appreciated, they recently spent more than 2 weeks interviewing candidates for 2 open commissioner positions, only to have to inform the candidates that they could no longer afford to hire them. The San Diego Superior Court has now planned to centralize their traffic operations, leading to some increased commutes and protests from local law enforcement. Previously, they'd closed all civil and small claims operations at the East and South County branches. They are now in the process of moving their small claims cases downtown from the traffic and small claims facility so that the facility can hear all traffic matters from the East and South branches, along with Central Court traffic. They are eliminating court-funded substance abuse assessments, pretrial services, and small claims advisors. Most of the past cuts have been felt in the family and civil divisions. Civil courts still have no reporters. Family courts only have a court reporter half the time. The court is exploring the reduction of remaining court reporters, including criminal, to a 35-hour work week. The San Diego Superior Court has traditionally functioned with 1,600 employees, but their ranks will now shrink below 1,200. At this time, they don't have enough staff members to efficiently process work in all divisions. To avoid unnecessary continuances because documents are filed and sit in a pile in the clerk's office, staff has to notify counsel to bring a courtesy copy of the pleadings to court for the judge to review. The criminal judges worry about their ability to handle additional caseloads caused by AB 109 and now Prop 47. WAFM has been particularly difficult for San Diego. WAFM was designed to provide an equitable funding method for our courts. 50% of that funding would be by shifting funding amongst the courts due to their workload. The other 50% was to be accomplished through new funding by the legislature. Unfortunately, funding to the branch has not remained static. It has shrunk dramatically. San Diego projects that the administration's proposed additional 5% funding in fiscal year 2015 to 2016 is grossly inadequate to make up for both the loss due to reallocation of funding through WAFM and the increased cost of employee benefits. It's in effect a double hit that takes San Diego from a $40 million ongoing operational deficit and pushes it to nearly $50 million. They are also fearful that WAFM's disparate impacts on trial courts will lead to an us-against-them mentality within the branch. It would be unfortunate if superior courts are no longer joined together in a united front for the good of the branch, as some courts benefit more from WAFM and others do not. The judges also worry about perceptions by the legislature, the governor, and the public regarding the manner in which money is being spent by the courts who have benefited under WAFM. San Diego judges worry about a conclusion that the judicial branch really doesn't need additional funding when courts with additional funding under WAFM are giving employees pay raises. Yet San Diego courts employees, on the other hand, have not had a pay raise since 2008. One judge remarked that, quote, San Diego is Exhibit A on the negative side of WAFM, and other than Santa Clara and Orange, has been the hardest hit by the lack of funding, unquote. They appreciated the irony of the National Association of Women Judges hosting their international conference in San Diego with the theme being, quote, maintaining access to justice, unquote, while they're still struggling to do so. To put this in perspective, in 2008, the court's budget was approximately $203.5 million. Today, their budget is $163 million. They have increased employee health care costs. Their filings are also down. Judges worry about additional funding and service reductions. One judge summarized their court as having gone from, quote, a leading court on fiscal efficiency to, quote, being on life support. I told them that I empathized with them. I felt their pain and knew what they were going through. The Los Angeles Superior Court has recently shuttered 8 courthouses and 79 courtrooms and laid off hundreds of employees since the start of the Great Recession. I told them that the Judicial Council has been fully engaged in seeking additional funding and that most of the Judicial Council members have literally spent days individually lobbying our legislators for more money and, in fact, had received a commitment for approximately $300 million in additional funding. But that, unfortunately, the governor's office has a different vision regarding the appropriate amount of funding for the Rainy Day Fund and other budget priorities. I told them that the Judicial Council staff is in constant contact and discussions with the Department of Finance. We will not give up and simply accept as the new norm this inadequate funding. San Diego, like other similarly situated courts, needs help, and they need it fast. With regards to their concerns about WAFM methodology of funding, I told them that I was also the Judicial Council liaison to Riverside County, a severely underfunded court. Riverside judges wanted to know why they have to wait 5 years to receive a deferred and fractional restoration of funds instead of full immediate additional funding. We need to keep in mind that WAFM was a historic agreement that involved compromises by all courts. Equitable funding, which WAFM was designed to address, was demanded by the executive and legislative branches and is one of the cornerstones of the chief's plan for a fully funding of the courts. We need to be very careful not to disturb the positive aspects of allocating funding through WAFM. On the other hand, we need to redouble our efforts to ensure that we have adequate new funding for the entire judicial branch. As long as all courts have an adequate funding base, courts that reallocate under WAFM will not begrudge additional monies going to severely underfunded courts. However, when there is inadequate funding for all of the courts and adjustments are only made internally, resulting in funding for some courts at the expense of others, we are doomed to repeat the cycle of hunger game requests for supplemental funding that we have had to painfully observe in these chambers for the last several years. We, the judicial branch, must dramatically increase our efforts with legislative and executive branches to achieve adequate new funding for the judicial branch. That concludes my report, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Brandon.
Thanks, Judge Brandon. Judge Weber?
Yes, could we play the first slide, please? Okay, Judge Brandlin talked about our administrative staff. On your left is Judge Jeff Barton, our assistant presiding judge. In the middle is our extraordinary PJ, Dave Danielson. And to the right, I'm sure all of you know, one of the best executive officers in the state, Mike Roddy. Here is our construction project that Judge Brandlin mentioned. Judge Rubin is my next-door neighbor, and he goes gaga over this construction project. They brought the second crane out last week, and now he's over the moon. It really is coming together. We're very excited about it. Judge So tells me that 720 truckloads of cement are being brought in this weekend. We're hoping that the rain will not halt that, but things do appear to be right on track, and we're all extremely excited about that new construction. Since Judge Bramlin's visit in October, I was also assigned by the Chief Justice as a liaison to San Diego, my home court. I wanted to update the council on several things that have happened since Judge Bramlin's visit. First, as you all know, Prop 47 passed on November 4. San Diego has been particularly hard hit. From November 5 through December 8, there have been over 9,800 petitions filed by the Public Defender's Office in San Diego Superior Court. These include both petitions for resentencing for people currently serving sentences and reclassification petitions filed by people who have already completed their sentences. Court administration has been told to expect approximately 2,000 petitions submitted per week for the next 3 years, which will total over 300,000 Prop 47 petitions to be reviewed and resolved in San Diego County alone. Understandably, the court is scrambling to find judges and staff to handle the extra hearings generated from Prop 47. To date, out of the 9,800 petitions filed, the court has been able to process 214 of these petitions. Second, the court invited the San Diego legislative staff and legislators to lunch at the downtown courthouse on November 17, an annual lunch that we started several years ago. Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins and the legislative aides of seven other local legislators attended the luncheon. This year's legislative luncheon focused on the impact of the severe budget crisis on families and children. As part of the frank discussion with Speaker Atkins and the legislative aides, the court staff prepared a short video, which I am not going to be playing today for time reasons, but we will make that available on our court operations. We feel that this kind of outreach with the legislature is critically important in this time of budget crisis. So that concludes my supplemental liaison report, Chief, and I am happy to answer any questions.